Good afternoon to everyone. Please welcome you to our presentation of first half 2023 financial results of EPH. First, let me to introduce the team on our side who will be presenting. It's Tomáš Miřacký, Executive Director of EPH, Executive Finance Director, of EPH, Petr Ďurík, Head of Financing, and myself, Pavel Horský, CFO of the group and member of the board. If we go to the page 5, the presentation should be on our website, web pages in the results center. So if you want to open it, I would kindly ask you to go to www.epholding.cz. On page 5, I would love to start with the executive summary. So we are presenting half-year results of Energetický průmyslový holding, which is EPH, abbreviation also the group. EPH is a leading pan-European utility with a strong market position, diversified and vertically integrated, with the resilient against different risk factors and focused on regulated, quasi-regulated and contracted activities. What it means? Strong market position. I think we operate two kind of assets. The first are infrastructure assets, which are in principle either leading or dominant or monopoly in the market, meaning distribution, meaning storage business, meaning gas transmission business. In the energy power generation business, we are mostly very favorably positioned in the merit order, so our power plants are making additional margin when operating in the market. So this is one key element, which is strong market position. Sorry. Then another feature is that we are diversified. The diversification is having several angles. First angle is that we are regionally diversified, so we are operating in low-risk economies and in principle in 9 countries. Most of them are Western countries, and then Czech Republic and Slovakia. So let's say the overall risk profile of countries in which we operate is excellent, and even more, the regional diversification brings diversification among the countries, obviously. Resilient against different risk factors. I think what is important to, if you look at EPH, we are consisting of several businesses, several segments, and these segments are negatively correlated. So if some of the segments are not performing due to market conditions, let's say at optimal level, the other segments can subsidize in a way the performance of the business, which is not at the optimal level. I think that a typical example are, for example, storages. When, for example, during the last year crisis, energy crisis, when some of the assets were suboptimal, for example, the gas transmission in Slovakia, the security of gas supply was very important, and therefore the gas storage segment was generating additional profit compared to, let's say, average profit seen during the last years. So again, the resilience of the businesses are given by the diversification of businesses we have in the portfolio, and some of them are negatively correlated, which helps in a critical and difficult situation like we have seen last year. An additional element which helps with resilience of the businesses is a focus on regulated, quasi-regulated and contracted activities, because obviously these activities bring additional visibility on a future visibility and stability of future cash flows and profit generation. So this is EPH, strong market conditions of most of our business segments. We are diversified, we have a resilient business model, and we are focused on stable, regulated, quasi-regulated, and contracted activities. If we go to H1 results, EBITDA 4.5 billion euros, which is slightly above 2022 result. The major reason is obviously that H1 2023 was slightly better compared to H1 2022. Free cash flow was almost the same like in 2022, 3.2 billion euros. Net leverage, again, almost the same, 1.1 times EBITDA. Cash flow conversion, 69%. Compared to 73% in 2022, which is mainly given by slightly higher capex and taxes. And what is also very important is that we have even improved our liquidity position to 5.5 billion euros, which is cash plus committed facilities, compared to 4.6 billion euros, which we have seen in December last year. I think we can go to page six. I think what is the most, let's say, the strategy of EPH, and I think this is, obviously we have two parts, we have EP Power Europe and we have EP Infrastructure. EP Infrastructure is focused on infrastructure assets, which I as I said, these are focused mainly on transmission, gas transmission, distribution businesses, storage and heat generation and distribution. These businesses are very much stable. And obviously, if you participated on a result calls of EPF, you precisely know about what I'm talking. So EPF is stable business, which is based on mainly regulated, contracted, or quasi-regulated businesses. And then you have EP Power Europe, which is a power generation arm of EPH. And here, what is very important is that the majority of our power generation capacities are gas-based. And these capacities are flexible, which means that you are able to produce power in case it is needed in the market. And this feature is more and more important for security of supply in environment when you are building new substantial capacities of renewables. And this feature of being flexible will be even more important in the future. So this is one of the key features of EPH, that we are providing flexible, affordable power generation capacities to Europe. And in a situation when you have even more renewables, these capacities will be even more important in the future. I think we have, during the last call, we have mentioned several times that EPH is having investment grade profile in terms of business, in terms of financial stability, in terms of financial profile. And I think we have proven this comments by approaching two rating agencies, Standard & Poor's and Fitch, and after regular process, we have received two investment grade with stable outlook. So EPH is full investment grade company with two triple B minus rating stable outlook. In connection with the rating process, we have decided to publish financial policy for EPH. Which states that the consolidated adjusted proportionate economic net leverage of the group will be held below 2.5 times EBITDA. If you look at our peers, you would see that this level of leverage is very, very, very low. Obviously, as a power generator and energy utility, we are very involved in ESG transformation, energy transformation, energy transition. I think we are very committed to it, and I think what has to be said here is that for us, the energy transition is having several angles. Obviously, one of the most important angles is emissions. And in this field, we are working very hard, and you can see from the presentation, we have already saved 32% of CO2 emissions if you compare 2015 and 2022. In other words, we have saved 25 million tons of CO2 per year compared to 2015. We have substantially improved our composition of the portfolio, and last year 72% of our portfolio was non-coal, so either renewables or gas-fired power plants. And what is also very important is that we intensively invest into hydrogen-ready flexible power generation capacities, mainly in UK and Italy, which first, most of these capacities will either replace coal or old gas. So you are in fact improving the overall emissions for generated power. That's first point. And second point, you are improving security of supply in the future. So we are currently building three CCGT, one of these OCGT, two CCGTs in Ireland and Italy, and we are investing more than 1.2 billion euros in this investment. Another angle of ESG for us is social. And social is having certain subcategories. The first categories are obviously employees, because if you translate, for example, mine to something new, the mine is, in terms of FTE, heavy company. So you have to give the purpose to employees also in the future. So this is very important social element to us. And if you have to somehow take care about employees, you are also taking care about the cities, regions, and so forth. This is one very important element for us. Another very important element is also security of supply, because if you are closing coal or other capacities, you have to replace them by something new, because otherwise there will not be enough capacity for generation of power in case of renewables are not in place in terms of power generation. So emission and decrease of emission and committing to target is obviously bread and butter and very key for us. But at the same time, we are very, very much committed also to employees, to regions, and also to security of supply. Last but not least, if you look at our structure of EPH, we have gas transmission, we have gas storage, we have gas distribution, and we have gas-fired power plants. And the plan is to replace all this gas infrastructure by biogas infrastructure. And we feel ourselves to be well placed, and also we are very much committed to be one of the leaders in a future in hydrogen future of Europe. So we are actively already now working on projects which includes implementation of hydrogen into energy infrastructure. If we go to next page, page seven summarizes our key highlights. More or less, I mentioned almost all of them. I will just simply summarize them. I think we are business-wise, we are operating. We are one of the leading pan-European utilities. We are operating businesses which are well positioned in the market, and many of them are a leader in the market. We have a very good diversified portfolio, which helps to keep a resilient business of the group. We have a predictable performance and very strong cash conversion ratio, so ratio which or conversion from EBITDA to free cash flow. From ESG perspective, we are very much committed to fulfill targets which we have promised to deliver. I will talk about them a little bit later. And also what is very important is that we are risk adverse, which we believe was proved in 2022 during the energy crisis. And also, last but not least, we have very highly competent and experienced management which worked for the company for 10 plus years. So which is something I believe beneficial compared to other companies which are publicly traded, because we are really long term in the company. We have acquired this asset, we understand this asset, and this is, I think, seen also in the results of EPH. I think all this together was behind, let's say, the result that we received two investment grade ratings, and also that we have been rated by Sustainalytics, and we are within the one third of best companies and peers which are rated by Sustainalytics. So these are like visible results of what we do. If we can go to another page, which is page 9. I think on this page I would just emphasize the chart at the bottom, when you can see the installed capacity of EPH. You can see that roughly 72% of capacities are non-coal. The rest are obviously coal, but what is important to say here is that the coal, it has to be distinguished, because the coal we operate are in most cases operated because of the fact that we are required to operate these capacities. So 12%, we have 7% capacities are in must-run regime, so we have been asked by operator in the market, specifically here in Italy, to operate Fiume Santo, which is one of two power plants critical for Sardinia in terms of power generation. So we are just someone who operates because of the request of operator. Another 9% of coal capacities are in operation because we have been requested by authorities to put them in operation, despite the fact that these in 2022, despite the fact that these capacities have been already closed. So, from overall coal capacities of 28%, roughly almost half or even more than half are operated based on external requirement. Just you to understand that we are not operating the coal because we wish to, but rather because we are required to. And I think it can be also seen that these capacities, the coal capacities, are really used only in case they are needed. And this can be very simply seen from the share of coal power generation capacities on sales revenues of the group, and it's below 10%. So despite the fact that they create 28% of installed capacity, in terms of revenues, they are below 10%. So they are only used when they are needed by the market. If you go to the next page, I think this page is good to see also the size of the group. If you look at table on the right side, installed capacity 4.4 gigawatt of installed capacity, power production 43 terawatts in 2022, power distribution 6.3 terawatt hour, and heat supply 7.9 petajoules. Gas storage capacity 64.4 terawatt hour, which put us as a leader in Central Europe in terms of gas capacity. Emission intensity is obviously affected by having coal in the portfolio, and we will discuss our clear road to energy transition, which we have already introduced during the 2022 call. But by 2030, the company will not have any coal capacity in the portfolio. I think we can go to following page. This nicely summarizes the financial KPIs of the group. Revenues are almost the same compared to 2022. EBITDA was slightly higher by 200 million euros, mainly because of the fact that first half of 2023 was better than 2022. Total assets are slightly lower. The reason is relatively simple because it relates to decrease of general decrease of commodity prices in the market, so working capital and derivatives associated with the hedging simply decreased by corresponding amount. CAPEX, if you look at history of the CAPEX and the current CAPEX, you can see some decrease, which is related to new builds, which I have already mentioned, two in Italy, one in Ireland. These higher CAPEXs we expect for 2023 and 2024, and a little bit in the beginning of 2025. After that, we assume that if there is no new project, that the CAPEX should go back to original levels, which you can see in 2019, 20, and 2021. I think we can go following page. This page covers financial policy, in fact, of the group, and let's say the strategy we have within the group, because this is the, for us, because obviously we are from the financial department, this is the bread and butter and very important for us. I think what is first very important topic is that we are very conservative in acquisition and CAPEX. And I think it will be later on, you can see that despite the fact that in 2009, we have started with EBITDA of 120 million euros, last year we have printed EBITDA of 4.3 billion euros. So we have gone through a period of strong growth, and despite this fact, the leverage of the group was never above 3 times EBITDA. So it shows this is long-term track record of ourselves that we behave very conservatively in terms of acquisition and CAPEX. Another very important element is liquidity and risk management. And the focus on risk management was already way before 2022, and it proved to be right approach because what we have done already before the crisis started, we have already at the time limited the overall volume of margined position of hedging, and we have rapidly increased the liquidity available to the group, and this helped us to go through 2022 without any additional external support which would be provided by any public authority. And I think this is very good example of our very conservative financial policy. At the end of 2022, the liquidity position of the group was roughly 4.6 billion euros. At the end of first half of 2023, it was 4.5 billion euros. So 5.5 billion euros. So we have even increased the liquidity position of the group, which just showed that how much we care about the overall conservative profile, risk profile of the group. One additional very key element in financial policy is a flexibility of dividend policy. And this is what differs us from publicly traded companies, because we don't have, or there is no need for us to have a fixed dividend policy or publicly announced dividend policy, which then you have to follow. It's simply up to us how much dividend we pay. And the key in dividend payout for us is the financial strength of the company and not to spoil the financial profile of the company. So I think this differs us a lot from others. And if you look at our dividend policy from the past, you could see that there were periods when we simply didn't pay any dividend because there was no need. and we simply care about keeping the financial profile of the group. I think the very nice example of flexible dividend policy can be also seen in case of EPIF, EP infrastructure, when based on 2022 development, we have quickly decided to decrease the leverage target of the group, and we have decided not to pay out any dividend out of group until the situation will be more stable. So the same approach can be applied also in case of EBH. I think we can go to following page, which summarizes the financial profile or financing profile of the group. Here, the key information is that EPH Group is currently financed at, is having two financing hubs in a way. One hub is EPIF, EP infrastructure. The reason for that is that this is independent group from the governance perspective, as there is a minority shareholder or shareholders which are led by Macquarie. EPH having 69% in EPIF and Macquarie's OLED investors 31%. So this is one financing hub, and another financing hub is EPH. And what we have accomplished this year is that we have completely refinanced EPH/EP Power Europe financing, which substantially helped to prolong the overall repayment profile of EPH, which you can see in the chart on the left side. For me, if I look at it, I can see first material maturity is 2024, but these are 750 million euros of bond, which is in EPIF infrastructure. But at the same time, EPIF is already having sufficient liquidity to cover the whole repayment of the DOPS of the bond. So for me, 2024 is not there is almost no repayment risk. If you look at 2025, you have roughly 300 million euro bond at EPH level, and then 500 million euros on EU stream. Again, EU stream is having our FPPI group, which is parent company for Eustream, is having sufficient liquidity buffer to cover the repayment, and 300 for EPH is a relatively very minor amount in terms of repayment risk. So if you look at it from my perspective, 2024 and 2025, you have almost zero repayment risk for EPH group. I think we can go to the following slide. This is org chart of the group. You can see that from the structuring perspective, EPH is divided into two subgroups. One is EP Power Europe, the other one is EP Infrastructure. EP Infrastructure is having four segments. EP Power Europe having in principle three of them. These days, EP Infrastructure is having, or in first half of 2023, EP's EBITDA was 1.4 billion euros. The EBITDA of EP Power Europe was 3.2 billion euros. So you can see that in the past, EPIF was the major part of EPH. Nowadays, it's the other way around. I think we can go to another page. Here is the sort of history of EPH. You can see that there is a lot of acquisition on the way from 2009, when the group was created, until now. And at the bottom of the chart, you can see the leverage over the years. And the leverage was 3.1 times EBITDA. But otherwise, you can see that the group was very tight in terms of financial leverage, which we were willing to to accept. I think we can go to another page. These are highlights for EP Power Europe. I think two major business comments. One comment is that we are very well positioned in merit orders, or three comments. Second comment is that despite the fact that we are power generator, we are also having a lot of regulated, quasi-regulated or contracted businesses within the group, which improves the resilience of the group. And another point is that we are provider of flexible power generation capacities, which are more and more important. EP Power Europe is very much involved in ESG sustainable or ESG related topics. So the most of decarbonization is done in EP Power Europe. And we will, I will show you later what commitments we have put in place. And again, we are focused, like in EPIF, we are focused on cash generative businesses, which mainly stems from the fact that there is relatively low maintenance capex. And also this is a very important factor which differs us from peers. Because really, if you look at around the utility space, having cash conversion around 69% to 70% is above the average. I would say a lot, way above, but let's say conservative, it's above the average. I think we can go to another page. This is just a summary of new builds which we are currently building. Kilroot, OCGT replaces existing coal power plant, which means that the emission intensity will be substantially lower. Tarazano replaces old CCGT, so again improvement of emission factor. Ostilia is the same story. EP France, we are repowering wind parks with installed capacity of almost 13 megawatt. And these are projects which have been already FDI'd. Now we have one larger project in the pipeline, which is in Edinburgh. We have been awarded by 10 years. 15 years capacity fee scheme for new build in Edinburgh. We plan to build 1.7 gig of H-class CCGT plus 300 megawatt of 2-hour battery storage. These two very interesting projects are in FDI process. We expect the decision by the end of the year. We, for the sake of completeness, we put it here, but so far it has not been decided. Last is that the current projects represent investment of euro 1.2 billion. Another page, please. EP infrastructure highlights. These are mostly infrastructure businesses, as the name of the company suggests. The company or the group is present in four segments, gas transmission, power and gas distribution, gas storage and heat distribution. Most of these businesses are either long-term contracted or regulated. So I think that the resilience of the businesses have been proven through 2020, through 2022. The company is having bonds out in the market, so regular reports, so I don't think there is a reason to spend much time on it. We are happy with the company for the moment. Okay, this is sustainability and ESG targets. having coal capacities in the portfolio, we are aware of emission targets which have been set by European Union and respective countries, and we are fully in line with these requirements, and we have decided to publish clear way how we would like to achieve these targets. Just to summarize these targets, we would like to reduce CO2 emissions by 60% by 2030. We would like to be zero coal by 2030. I will discuss later how we would like to achieve it. As mentioned, because of the portfolio of our assets, where we are currently having gas transmission, gas distribution, gas storage, and gas fired power plants, we feel ourselves to be a leader or to become a leader in future hydrogen or hydrogen future of the Europe. So, and already we have several projects in the pipeline which we would like to move the needle and be closer to the target. And EPIF already created a green finance framework to be used for potential refinancing. EPH is in the process to create a green finance framework as well, which definitely then will give you clear understanding, additional certainty that we are on track with respect to our green targets. In terms of coal in our portfolio, currently the capacity which is operated is roughly four gigs of installed capacity. For Kilroot, as I said, we are just about to finish construction of OCGT, and existing Kilroot coal plant should be closed in roughly September or October this year. Merum, this is hard coal in Germany, which was called back by German government during 2022 from the reserve. It will be closed March 2024, sorry. And Emil Hoche 6 was called back by French government as well, and it should be closed by March 2025. Fiume Santo is having a special position because this is, as I mentioned, the asset is in Mastram regime. So Terna is in sectoring us what we should do and when we should do it. This contract is valid until 2025. We have provided already several times two transition projects for Fiume Santo. One is to rebuild the company to biomass. The other one is to gas or hydrogen ready CCGT. Unfortunately, the Italian government is not responding or has not responded yet. So we are waiting for the replay. But at the same time, what I wanted to say is that there is a clear plan from our side how to decarbonize Fiume Santo power plant. But the decision is at the moment not up to us, but up to Italian government. Lignite power plants in Germany, they will be divested from EPH by 2025. So at the end of 2025, we will end up with only 0.8 megawatt of installed capacity in coal. This capacity is in fact CHPs, so combined heat and power plants in Czech Republic, so the power plants which are supplying heat to cities and to offices, to factories. The plan is to decarbonize these power plants via building new gas or hydrogen ready CCGTs. The project is on the way. Just for your understanding, the overall size of the project is 1 billion euro, so it's above 1.2, which I have already mentioned. And this project should be carried out between 2024 to 2028-9. Also, it doesn't depend fully on us, because there has to be also some sort of coordination with the Czech government But anyway, by 2030, EPH will end up as a zero coal company, which is having hydrogen-ready CCGTs and renewables. I think we can flip to and again. This is summary of our sort of ESG strategy. I think that the most important, and I would be a little bit repeating myself, but for us, what is the most important is both emission or emission and social aspect of energy transition, and we care about both. Because to decrease the emission is something we know we have to do and we are ready to do, and we have planned for almost every and each coal power plant how to replace the coal by any other, let's say, environmentally friendly fuel. But at the same time, what is also very important for us is that we are employing people, we are living in certain regions. And also, if you close some power plants, in many cases, these power plants are critical for security of supply. So we do care about the security of supply, and also we do care about affordability of power. So these are two major elements for us: decrease of emissions, clear plan for decarbonization, and at the same time, to make the energy transition in a socially responsible way. Key takeaways. I think we have reported interesting results, 4.5 billion euros. It's in a way a record in EPH history. Obviously, these results were a little bit elevated by higher commodity prices, that's the fact, but at the same time the group is growing by acquisition, the group is growing by building new capacities internally, so we potentially can expect certain decrease of overall profit generation of the group, but at the same time it will be also compensated by new capacities which we will put into operation. We are very much focused on cash flow conversion. As I said, it's mainly given by low maintenance assets which we have in the portfolio. This low maintenance feature is, in our view, medium to long term. So this feature, meaning the strong cash flow conversion ratio, should be seen also in the future. We take advantage from very strong market position of infrastructure assets we have in portfolio, and also we take advantage of having very well positioned power generation assets in EP Power Europe. As I said, material part of EBITDA is regulated, quasi-regulated or long-term contracted, which helps to predictability of cash flow. It helps also sustainability and resilience of profit generation. Liquidity was key last year. We believe it's a cornerstone of our strategy also for the future. So therefore, you can see 5.5 billion euros of liquidity at the end of June 2023. What helped us very much last year was very prudent and risk-averse approach of the whole group. Low-risk strategy framework, we are trying to limit volatility, we are trying to maintain upsides. So in other words, we are trying to hedge ourselves in a responsible way and to avoid any liquidity squeeze out of the hedging. We are heavily working in the field and domain of ESG and energy transition. We are committing huge funds to build new capacities to replace old, inefficient, highly emission capacities. We are also very much focused on social aspect, and also we believe that the flexible power generation will be something which will be very much needed because of growing overall volume of renewables in Europe. And last but not least, I think that the management of EPH is competent and experienced, and from the past track record, I think you can clearly see that we are very much committed to the group. So last but not least, sorry, I will just repeat that EPH was awarded by two investment grade ratings, and we are very well positioned in terms of ESG ratings. And we belong to, let's say, the top of the peers among the group which we belong to, so utilities and energy companies. I think for me, it's all for the time being. There are some appendixes in the presentation, but I think I would leave it to kindly to your attention. Now I would like to open the floor for questions.
We have no questions on the line, so I'll hand back to the team.
Okay. Hopefully my presentation was clear enough. Anyway, thank you very much for your attention and your participation on this call. We really appreciate it, and we look forward to speak to you next time, so 2023 results next year. So once again, thank you very much. Have a good day.